James and Teresa are 62 and 60. They're still working and they have $700,000 saved. They want to retire, but how much travel can they afford? Let's jump in. Welcome to Rise in Retirement,
where it's our priority to help you make informed decisions when it comes to your retirement and hard-earned dollars.
I'm Jet.
And I'm Taco.
We are financial advisors at W.A. Smith Financial, a firm entrusted by thousands of people all over the U.S. for their hard-earned money so that we can help you focus more on your life and worry less about your money. Let's jump into the example today.
Yeah, I'm excited about this hypothetical situation we have today, Jet. James and Teresa, they're 62 and 60, respectively. Both still working, but they're at the tail ends of their career, and they're really laser focused on getting into those golden years, and they want to travel a lot. And they're starting to get to that point where they're not sure if the retirement travel life that they envisioned is actually doable. Yep. You know, based on what they have.
We had a dollar for every time we've heard this.
Yep.
We want to retire and we want to travel the world, and I totally understand. Makes a lot of sense. You know, you sacrifice, you spend a long time working, saving so that you can get to a point. And a lot of people have this as their ultimate goal, to see some places that they've never seen. And, you know, ultimately, can they afford to do it the way they want to do it? So I don't want this to get misconstrued. Can they afford to retire and travel? I think the answer is yes. But as we'll paint in the case scenario, the way they want to do it is where some yellow flags pop up here.
Yeah.
We want to help you guys work through. So,
yeah. So some details on this one. Jim and Teresa, again, both nearing the end of their careers here.
Yep.
They have about $500,000 saved post-tax money, non-qualified money, right? About 200 grand of their 700 is qualified. So pre-tax money. No kids, no big legacy goals or anything of that nature. They want to spend. They want to, you know, we laugh, we joke. They want to bounce the last check because there's really no one there that they want to pass that money on to. They've got some pension income. They have some Social Security income. And based on just their living expenses, their daily needs, we're looking at a little over $2,000 per month as a shortfall that was identified.
Yep. This is money they need to withdraw from their asset pool.
They need $6,800 per month to live off of. With pension, Social Security income, they have about a $2,000 shortfall that they know they have to pull from their nest egg.
It's just 700 grand that they have saved.
Yep. So we have a withdrawal rate of 3.5%. So, Jet, somebody comes to you and says, hey, that's my retirement. What are you saying?
I just need the $2,000 a month.
That's it.
And I'm good.
Yeah.
Green light.
Yeah.
Let's go.
They look great.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
Yep. Especially if there's no kids, no legacy goals. I'd say you got to spend a little bit more if you want to bounce the last check.
Yeah. 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 Agreed. I mean, the fact that they have about 70% of their income taken care of on reliable, predictable pension, Social Security income, you know, they're in a really good spot, especially not having to, you know, worry about leaving a bunch of money behind. You know, they can spend very confidently, on $700,000. And so we hear it all the time, you know, well, gosh, you need this study says you need 1.7 million. And this study says you need, you know, 1.1. And this one says 2.5 million. This is a perfect example of, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It's more about your spending.
Yeah. 100%.
And so James and Teresa, 700 grand to live the basic expenses, it's easy.
Yeah, they're green light all the way. You're not gonna find many advisors that are gonna tell you that you can't retire with that being the base scenario. But what makes this one, I guess, a little bit more difficult is when you ask Jim and Teresa, what does travel the world mean to you? Tell me more about that. You said you want to retire, and just to live basic retirement, you need about 2 grand extra a month. Okay, you've got enough saved for that. How much more are you going to need? What does your definition of travel the world mean? And so what they tell us is that additionally, they would like $5,000 more gross before taxes per month for at least a 6 month period of time. So Jim and Teresa's vision of traveling the world is, we're still going to have all of our expenses at home. They might be pared down a little bit because we're not here, but we need an additional $5,000 per month for half the year so that we can live and travel the way we want to travel. And so when you do that and you add that additional expense to the bottom line baseline expectation, their withdrawal rate goes from 3.5% up to almost 8% per year. And that's where we get into yellow and red light territory with, can they actually do this?
Yeah. I mean, they added another $30,000 per year on top of their, on top of the, call it 24,000.
That's minimum for them, right? They'd like more.
Yeah.
But that's, hey, we think we can get it done if this is all we do.
Yeah. So when we yellow light, red light, green light, like I'm yellow teetering red with a 7.8%, you know, that's a tough one to say, hey, that's sustainable for the rest of your life.
What sticks out to you as why though? Why does that withdrawal rate scare you for someone like Jim and Teresa who have no kids, no legacy goals? They can bounce that last check. Like, what sticks out there?
Yeah, I'd say one of the big ones is, you know, I'm going to call it sequence of return risk. How, what's their risk tolerance? You know, how are they wanting to allocate their dollars? Because if you're allocating, you know, let's just say a 70-30 mix, 70% equities, 30% fixed income or whatever, and all of a sudden the market goes down by 25 or 30%, let's say, that withdrawal rate, you're still pulling the money, you're still pulling from a declining portfolio. That 7.8% withdrawal rate could jump to 10-11% pretty quickly if there's not proper planning there, where they're, you know, kind of bucketing off some money. So that's probably the big one that jumps out to me is, you know, your guess is as good as mine. Anybody who says they, you know, can predict what the market's going to do, you know, it you just never know.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're 1 year away from retirement, or they're getting pretty close here. If they went in to this next year thinking, hey, we're going to do this, and boom, all of a sudden they lose 20 or 30%, it's a red, you know.
Well, I think you go from being in a situation where you're hoping you can travel the world for 6 months a year to being in a situation now where you're wondering if you've got enough for just your baseline experience without the travel. Because the last thing we want to do if you're Jim and Teresa is overspend, be a little bit too overconfident with your market returns, have a scenario like that happen. Now all of a sudden you can't travel, but now you have to be tight at home as well.
Yeah.
And that's not what their vision of retirement ever was from a single moment that they chose to do this. I think there's three kind of takeaways that you can pull from here.
Yeah.
And the first one is there, and you alluded to this, is there even a safe withdrawal rate? You know, you hear 4%, you hear 3.5%, 3.2%, you hear some people argue, oh, you can take out 5-6% if your investments perform properly. What say you there? I mean, is there a safe withdrawal rate, or is it all scenario based?
I think it's scenario based for the most part, because a question that I would have in this situation with James and Teresa is, how long do they want to do it? I mean, they're young at this point. So
hey, what we said, 62 and 60.
Yeah. So if you're telling me you want to do this until, you know, your mid 80s, it's probably not going to happen. What we find a lot, and we hear this, is they want to go crazy for the next 5 years.
Right.
We're in retirement. We want to travel everywhere. We want to see the whole world while we're healthy, while we can do it, you know, and maybe it's for the next five, you know, maybe even 10 years. In that situation, that withdrawal rate of 7-8, if proper planning is done and there's bucketed off money, I think it's doable, especially when you're not too worried about leaving money behind. So I think that would be a first step for them, is to identify how long do we want to do this? And then we could start doing some planning on making sure those dollars are there, they're protected, versus, you know, not having a plan and kind of just going rogue with pulling money out.
Yeah. I think another one too, as we close up here, you can get a lot more granular with how you fund this, mm-hmm. right? So we're talking, they need an additional $30,000 a year. Do you pull it out as a lump sum before you travel? Do you pull it out in addition on a monthly basis? Do you pull it out over a 12 month and then you have to manage your own cash flow to make sure that it's there? So I think that there's some scenarios there that you need to talk to your advisor about in building how you're going to get this cash flow, when it's going to come, where it's going to come from. We didn't even get into whether they pull it from their IRA pool. Do they pull it from their non-qualified assets? How are they controlling income taxes? How are they controlling what they owe on those dollars as they pull the additional amount out? Does the additional money affect them from an IRMA standpoint or other scenarios? So there's a lot that goes into how are we getting the money? Let's say, hey, the advisor goes, you can do this. Let's get you the extra $5,000 a month. There should be strategy discussion around how and when and where you're getting it from.
Yeah. And I think there has to be that discussion. Again, this goes back to risk tolerance. It's kind of the final one is how risk averse are they, or, you know, how do they want these dollars allocated?
Yeah.
So the conversation there is, hey, if we do see a big decline and you didn't properly, you know, bucket off these dollars into something a little more conservative or safe, are you willing to take a year off or a 2 years off of your travel to allow your dollars to kind of rebound? That's a hard conversation.
Tough pill to swallow for some people.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, but it's the reality that you have to understand when it's a tight withdrawal rate like that, what can help that is that willingness to say, hey, we don't have to do it this year. You know, we got time to let this market kind of recover, something along those lines.
Yeah. I think in when you back it all down, in this case, we're giving Jim and Teresa a yellow teetering on green light, I would say, in the capacity that last check bounce people want to front end load this enjoyment, this travel enjoyment for the next 5 to maybe 10 years. We're willing to take some sacrifices and pull back if we have to. Again, all about situation. When we talk about income as the foundation of every plan, this is precisely is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Understanding how much can you spend, where it's going to come from, how it's going to come to you, how long you're going to need that income, and can your portfolio sustain that type of a withdrawal over time, given your legacy goals and what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. And there's, like I said, many ways to get the income. So it's having that conversation. I hate a lazy answer from most advisors that, oh yeah, you're good. You know, just tell us,
let us know when you need it.
Yeah. I love seeing people like James and Teresa spend their money. You know, there's so often we have to convince people go spend, go enjoy. So having that goal of, hey, we want to go spend our money. We want to enjoy it. And if there's nothing left over at the end, we're fine. I love that mentality. But there's still proper planning that can be done. It's not just, yeah, go do it. You know, go spend your money. It's your money. You only live once.
Yep. I think Jim and Teresa are a perfect example of someone who should look at some sort of a bucket or laddering strategy with how they're divvying up their assets and how they're going to spend it. That's something that you should check out if you have specific goals for income. And also, if you're looking for specific tailored advice on subjects like this or anything that we talk about on here, become an Ascend 360 Insider, become a member of the community. Simply click on the link in the description below and you can join for the weekly video content that we send out.
Yeah, it's delivered 9 a.m. every Thursday and it's just packed with valuable information when it comes to retirement planning and tips in the real life world of your retirement. So definitely join.
Not only that, if you're ready for more, if you want to talk about your situation, if you want to get a second opinion from a financial advisor here on our team, we can set up a virtual meeting, set you up with a Zoom, and all you got to do is schedule a retirement tune-up financial review. Link is in the description for that, as well as becoming an Ascend 360 Insider member. And with that,
Don't forget, like our page, subscribe, turn your notifications on, comment below if there's a situation that you want Jet and I to talk a little more about. Until then, though, thank you for joining us in Rise in Retirement. We'll see you soon.